Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Bowmansville. It's good to see your smiling faces here today as we gather to worship the one true and living God. I can see you smiling behind your mask. So a special welcome to any guests who are worshiping with us today. It's wonderful to have you with us. And also a special welcome to those who are joining us via live stream. Well, today is Valentine's Day, a day that we're going to be focusing on love, specifically loving our enemies, which is all what you all want to hear about today, right? Absolutely. So I pray that as you entered through the doors of this building this morning, you could sense God's presence and God's love for you. So would you join me in prayer as we enter into our time of worship? Almighty God, one of the hardest things you ask us to do is to love our enemies. We know how we'd like to love them. We'd love for them to be far away from us. We'd love for them not to scare us or to change the way that we live. We'd love for them to be lovable. So teach us how to love our enemies. Teach us hope. Teach us faith. Teach us forgiveness, which we know is suffering love through falling tears. Teach us your ways, O Lord, and continue to transform our hearts and change us more and more into your image. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Would you join in worshiping song?
Will you please stand and join us as we worship God this morning? And during this first song, if you did not put your offering in, you may do so during this first song.
Thank you. Lord God, we share these gifts today with our pastoral team. We ask your blessing upon them. Bless and meet their needs and their families. Lord, give us ears to hear and obedience to your word. Lord, that they would have the joy of seeing godliness grow among us. Lord, we ask that your special blessing would be upon Larry and Tony and Brian and Sheldon. Lord, just continue to give them wisdom to lead us, and we ask that they would hear and feel your Holy Spirit in new ways. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost. When Jesus arose with our freedom in hand, that's when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made
you so much for being there for us. And Lord, thank you for the power that is in your name. And Lord, we just give all honor and glory to you this morning. I pray that you will be with Larry now as he shares the message that you have given to him. It's in your precious name that we pray. Amen.
Well, greetings in the name of Jesus, that powerful name, the name we just sung about. Thank you for your prayers on my behalf as I prepared for this message today. I certainly do thank you for your prayers and the way you hold us as a team, leadership team, up in prayer. Thank you for that. So before we get into the message today, I'd like to have a prayer for, I think you got a phone tree message yesterday about Dixie's mother, who's gotten worse. And also want to just hold up Alvin Wise also to your throne of grace this morning, because he's still in the holding pattern waiting for another test and really doesn't know much more than what we knew last Sunday. But I'd just like to have a word of prayer for him today. So would you join me in prayer? Almighty God, we do indeed thank you that you are a God that loves us dearly. Thank you that you hear our prayers. We just want to lift up Dixie's mother, Sandy Anderson, to your throne of grace this morning. And I pray, Father God, that you would surround her with your presence. And I pray, Father God, that you would bring a touch to her life. We thank you that you care. We thank that you are powerful. We also want to hold up Alvin Wise to your throne of grace and pray, Father God, you surround him and Anna Mae also as they continue this journey with cancer. So we thank you and praise you that you are a God who hears our prayers and you will answer in the way that you see fit. So I pray you would just bless our time together this morning as we look into your word. In Jesus' powerful name I pray, amen. Well, this morning we're going to be concluding our winter sermon series where we've been exploring some of the challenging, radical, do we really have to follow teachings of Jesus? And like I mentioned several Sundays ago, no, you don't have to follow Jesus' teachings. It's a choice. You have a choice. But if you want to experience life, abundant life, the life that Jesus said he came to give to us, I would suggest that you follow them, because that's where you're going to find life. Next Sunday, we're going to be beginning our journey through Lent. Yes, it's that time of the year again. It's hard to believe. A time when we begin to prepare for the Good Friday service and also gathering on Sunday morning, Resurrection Sunday morning, and celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave. Well, today is Valentine's Day, and so it's a day that is focused on love. And so today we're going to be looking at a radical, challenging teaching of Jesus, who told us to love our enemies. Did Jesus really say that? I believe it's safe to say that all of us here this morning find some people easy to love and others perhaps, no, not perhaps, others more difficult to love. Maybe if we were really honest, we would even admit that there's some people that we really don't like at all. Perhaps, dare I say it, we might even admit to hating them. The truth is, the society that we live in today encourages revenge towards whoever we perceive has offended or wronged us in some way, shape, or form. Sometimes maybe bumper stickers reveal what our real philosophy in life is in this area. Bumper stickers like, I don't get mad, I get even. Or, do unto others before they can do it unto you. Or, to err is human, to forgive is out of the question. Jesus calls his followers to operate under a set of values that is exactly opposite of what the world lives by. Like I mentioned last Sunday, I've always been intrigued by some of the stories I read about our Anabaptist ancestors. So another account of our Anabaptist ancestors that really intrigues me is the one of Dirk Willems. Dirk was imprisoned in 1569 for believing, among other things, the baptism of adult believers instead of infant baptism and loving your enemies. Now, many of Dirk's fellow believers had already been executed for similar beliefs. So when he escaped on that winter day many years ago, he was literally running for his life. As he ran across the frozen moat that surrounded his prison castle, a guard took note that he was attempting to escape and started to give chase to recapture him. Well, Dirk made it across the ice, but the guard that was chasing him broke through the ice and was floundering about in the water, calling out for help. Now, what would you do if you were in that situation? I think my natural reaction would be a sigh of relief. Good. Now I can go free. But something compelled Dirk to turn back and reach out a hand and rescue the guard who was pursuing him. Now, you would think that extending a helping hand would be enough to save your life, right? Well, Dirk was rearrested and placed back in prison, and on May the 16th, in 1569, he was led to the edge of town where he was tied to a stake and burned for his faith. So what was it that compelled Dirk to have compassion on his pursuer and turn back to rescue him? Perhaps it was the challenging and radical teaching of Jesus, who told us, love your enemies. Jesus gave his followers principles for living their lives that would clearly distinguish them from non-believers. He patiently taught his disciples that a blessed life is not found in getting or in doing, but in being, in allowing your heart to be transformed. So now imagine that you're one of Jesus' disciples, and he looks you right in the eye, and he says this: but I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them. And lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you'll be sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Love your enemies. What? Wait. How in the world do you expect me to do that? We're going to look at five things from this scripture this morning. First one is the command to love our enemies. We need to understand that there are several different words for love in the Greek. In the scripture today, I believe Jesus is referring to agape love, which is different from other types of love. Agape love is a willful choice, a sacrificial love that is intentionally and genuinely concerned for someone else's well-being. It is a supernatural love that is empowered by the Holy Spirit and is not based on what someone deserves, but on the grace of God. Agape love says, I will love this person because by God's grace, I choose to love this person. Now, what about enemies? Who are the enemies that we're supposed to love? The Greek word that is used for enemies here in Luke 6 denotes the inner disposition from which hostility arises. In other words, an enemy could be anyone who is antagonistic or hateful towards another person. An enemy could be a demeaning boss, an abusive family member, an angry neighbor, etc., etc. So this begs the question, who is your enemy? Who is your enemy? This is a very important question for you as a Christian to answer, because whoever you identify as an enemy, Jesus gives a very clear command. Love your enemies. Jesus doesn't suggest that you love your enemies. It's a command. Secondly, how do we love our enemies? In verses 27b and 28, Jesus gave us three ways to love our enemies. First, we love our enemies by our actions. Jesus said in Luke 6, 27b, do good to those who hate you. So if you've identified someone who is an enemy, someone you really do not care for, ask God to reveal to you something good that you can do for that person. And then, do it. Do it. But see, here's the problem. Our human tendency is to do everything we can possibly do to avoid that person. We usually don't want anything to do with them. But Jesus clearly says, do good to those who hate you. The second way to love our enemies is by our words. Jesus said in Luke 6, 28a, bless those who curse you. So how do you respond to a person who curses you? Do you respond in kind? Jesus said we should respond with a heartfelt blessing. The third way we love our enemies is by praying for them. Jesus said in verse 28b, pray for those who mistreat you. Some other translations say, pray for those who hurt you or despitefully use you. Now, you may have been very deeply wounded and hurt. Again, our natural human response is to have nothing to do with that person who has hurt us. But Jesus says, pray for those who mistreat you. You see, I believe it's next to impossible to pray for someone and to hate them at the same time. This teaching, directly from Jesus, may seem radical and difficult. Well, that's because it is. It's radical and it's difficult. But I also believe that with the help of the Holy Spirit, it's possible to obey this teaching. Third, illustrations about loving our enemies in verses 29 to 30. Jesus gave four illustrations about loving our enemies. First, we love our enemies by enduring insults. Jesus said in verse 29a, if someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. Now, some Bible scholars say that Jesus is referring to an insult and not actually to someone physically striking you on the cheek. Maybe he's referring to both, an insult and someone actually striking you. At any rate, we are called by Jesus to endure insults and any other kind of action someone may take against us that we receive from our enemies. True Christ-like love keeps on loving and enduring for the sake of Jesus. Secondly, we love our enemies by suffering loss. Jesus said in verse 29b, if someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Jesus calls his followers to be willing to suffer loss because we are more concerned about the needs of others. Maybe he's saying that if someone was desperate enough to take your coat, then let them have the shirt off your back also. Thirdly, we love our enemies by sharing generously. Jesus said in verse 38, give to everyone who asks you. I believe Jesus was talking about sharing generously with anyone who has a legitimate need. And fourth, we love our enemies by abandoning payback. Jesus said in verse 30b, if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. I don't think that Jesus is talking about someone who's stealing something from us, because one of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not steal. I think Jesus is talking about someone who has borrowed something from you and hasn't returned it. Jesus is saying we should not harass them to return whatever's been borrowed. I believe what Jesus is calling his followers to do is to err on the side of generosity and grace. Fourth, the rule for loving our enemies in verses 31 to 34. In verse 31, Jesus says, do to others as you would have them do to you. We all know this. We've been taught this from little on up. The golden rule. Someone has said that the golden rule is a moral obligation to treat others ethically for their sake, not ours. because it's the right thing to do. And because the way we treat others is about who we are. It's not about who they are. Then in verses 32 to 34, Jesus says this: if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. Almost anyone can offer love, do good to, and lend to someone who they expect will return the favor. The love Jesus commands his followers to demonstrate is radical. It is a love not only for our friends, but also for our enemies. It is not limited to those who love you, help you, repay you, but it extends to people who hate you, curse you, and abuse you. Jesus' followers can love in this manner only because of the supernatural empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And fifthly, the reward for loving our enemies. In verses 35 and 36, Jesus said, but love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back, then your reward will be great. Our reward for loving our enemies will be great, and our reward will be a reflection of our relationship with God. In verses 35b and 36, and you'll be the sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Anyone who loves their enemies demonstrates that they are in fact sons and daughters of the Most High. Jesus commands us to love our enemies. Jesus was hated. Jesus was cursed. He was mocked by many false witnesses who testified against him. He was beaten and he was whipped. And the Roman soldiers nailed him to a wooden cross. And as he was dying, people swore at him. What did Jesus do? He responded by loving them and giving his life to pay for their sins. Jesus blessed those who cursed him as he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. You see, this is where we learn to love our enemies. It's at the cross. It's at the cross where Jesus demonstrated what it means to truly love our enemies. So it's at the cross. It's also at the empty tomb where Jesus was raised back to life, where we see the power of God's love enabling Jesus and us here today to love our enemies. You see, the world will know that we are Jesus' followers by our love for each other and also our love for our enemies. So may God help us all as we seek to follow his challenging and radical teachings so that we can receive the reward of being called sons and daughters of the Most High. Would you please join me in prayer? Almighty God, we do indeed thank you for your word. And we know that you know that it is very difficult for us to, in this world in which we live, to follow some of these challenging and radical teachings that you've given to us to follow. So we ask that today, in the powerful and the strong name of Jesus Christ, that your Holy Spirit would fill us to full, to overflowing, that we would be able to love our enemies, and to do good to those who mistreat us. I pray in the powerful name of Jesus Christ that you would help us to fulfill this teaching so that others may see that we are radically different and we are radical followers of you. So I pray this in the strong and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. I invite the worship team to come forward.
Will you please stand and join us as we sing, "They Will Know We Are Christians by Our Love."
For those of you who may not know me, my name is Devin Weaver. I'm the son of Dwayne and Donna Weaver, and I'm also one of the missionaries that is sent out from Bowmansville Church. And I'm up here to share about my trip to Colombia that I just got back from. So I serve with Youth with a Mission Pittsburgh, and it's a Christian nonprofit missions organization that brings youth and people of all ages in and disciples them, and then sends them out into the nations to kind of evangelize and disciple others. So that's what I've been doing for the last 2 years, and I've gotten to go on four different trips, with this last one being to Colombia. And I had the privilege of leading our discipleship training school to Colombia, and in the days leading up to it, we weren't sure if we were going to be able to go overseas or not because of COVID. But God opened the door to go to Colombia, and so we walked through the door as fast as we could. we got to go to Cartagena, Colombia, which is on the Caribbean coast of Colombia, and then also we spent the other half of our trip in Bogota, Colombia, which is the capital of Colombia, and it's a little bit south further. The different things we got to do there, we did a lot of street evangelism to people. There was a lot of people still moving around, even though COVID is still existent down there as well. We would share what we call the Wordless Book. It's a little tool we use that uses colors to share the gospel. And in Colombia, they do speak Spanish, so we use translators, and we were very thankful for the translators, because without them, a lot of what we did would not have been possible. We also got to do some Bible distribution on an island, pretty small island. They're trying to put a Bible in each home, so it's really awesome to be able to go into these people's homes and share the gospel, but also be able to leave them with a Spanish Bible that they could read. And then we also got to do a few kids programs, as well as a drama we do called Doors, and it's a drama about life and how the sins of this world are calling out to us constantly, but Jesus is always there to rescue us from those and bring us salvation. And yeah, God was so faithful in providing health and safety the whole time. We did get tested 3 times before I actually came back to Pittsburgh, and each time every one of our team members came back negative. And you know, I really obviously think it's God, because we interacted with so many different people in different areas, and I just really think God's protection was on us. And He also provided us with amazing opportunities. We talked to several people in Colombia that were very surprised at what we were doing, and they told us that if they had been doing that, there's no way they could have gotten into the places that we went or done the things that we had done. So down there, the church is almost shut down to an extent. A lot of churches are still closed, and I think that just makes us going down there all the more important. Because people in the streets are not hearing the name of Jesus mentioned as often. And so it was awesome. We got to talk to people about God, and people were so willing to listen. They're very hospitable people. And throughout the trip, we got to see 300 salvations, 71 rededications, and 10 healings. The rededications, I really love to see people rededicate their life, especially in Colombia. They're a Catholic nation. A lot of people are Catholic. But it's more of a name than anything else. They grow up in a Catholic family, and they just call themselves Catholic, but they don't attend church. They don't really know God. They more know the religion. And so it's really cool to be able to tell them that God wants more than just a religion. He wants a relationship, a personal relationship with each and every one of us. And one story I have is about a lady we got to pray for. We actually prayed for her daughter first, and after we were done praying, she said, "Hey, my mom is inside, and she can't walk. She stepped on a nail, and she's feeling a lot of pain. She can't put any weight on her foot." And so we said, "Yeah, we'd love to pray for her." So we went in, and we prayed for her, and we didn't see any difference while we were there. But a few days later, we were in the same area, and we saw this lady outside. And we went over to talk to her, and we said, "Hey, you're walking. Is your foot feeling better?" She said, "Yeah." She said, "Praise the Lord. I don't feel any pain. I can walk on it. I can put all my weight on it." And so it was just amazing to see God heal that lady. And a lot of times we can't see the healings that God is doing, but He is still the God of the Bible, and He still does amazing, amazing things that we often don't see. So I will be sharing a video here in a little bit. It's kind of a recap that one of our students made. But first, I would like to share kind of what's next for me. I just finished up my 2-year term at Youth with a Mission Pittsburgh. And I am going to be moving back to Lancaster in March, March 11th. However, I'm not going to be getting out of missions. I'm going to be joining Youth with Mission Lancaster over in Ephrata. They have a base. And my fiance is working there currently. She's in Kenya right now. And so I'm excited to come home, but I'm also excited to stay in missions and, get to kind of experience a different type of missions here at home. So I'm going to be starting a school that is required for me to join staff there in Lancaster. That'll start in April. And then on May 22nd, I'm going to be getting married. So got some exciting stuff coming up in my life. If you guys have any questions about what I do or what I'm going to be doing, feel free to ask me. But lastly, I just want to thank you guys as a church so much for all of your support and prayers over the last 2 years. It's been a huge blessing to have a home church that I always know has got my back and is always praying for me. So I just want to thank you guys so much. I've been on 4 trips, like I said, and each and every one of those trips, you guys have been more than generous in providing, like I said, both prayer and financial support. So thank you. I'm so proud to be a part of this church, and I really appreciate you guys. So Miles, if you could just play that video, that'd be great. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing, Devin. I appreciate the way you keep us informed of what's happening in your life and your ministry. So God bless you as you continue to serve Him with YWAM and as you begin your new life with your wife in several months. So may God richly bless you in that. So thank you for your kind attention this morning. Would you please stand to receive this benediction? May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. God bless you. Go in peace. Have a great week.